Thank you, Ron, for reading our scripture lesson out of the book of Galatians, one of the oldest texts in the New Testament that we get. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. You foolish Galatians, writes Paul. In just two verses, Paul calls the church fools. In the Message translation, the word is actually crazy, calling the church crazy. And we could include our own translation if we would like to. We could say, off their rocker, off the rails, out of one's mind, high as a kite. Choose your idiom, and Paul would probably likely agree with you. He was beyond frustrated with the church who are wavering in their ministry to the risen Christ. You see, outside missionaries had convinced them that Gentiles were not children of God, using scripture to bolster their argument, which we probably are familiar with these days still, huh? That they argue with scripture that the Gentiles had to perform certain laws or parts of the Torah in order to have a relationship with God. Therefore, they had not really received the Spirit, and Christ was really not with them as they previously thought. Needless to say, it brought their ministry and all the good they were doing to a standing halt. To better understand Paul's frustration, consider a garden that you have poured your time, sweat, and money into getting ready for the season. Planning, weeding, mulching, trimming, watering. You went as far as to research exactly what plants do well with the soil, the light, and don't forget the critters in your yard. And after a long day of work and preparation, you finally take a look at each plant, satisfied by your work. Maybe even excited about one specific plant in particular with the hopes that it'll flourish this season. Now tell me the feeling you have when the next morning you go outside to inspect your plants, to appreciate its growth and get back to tending it, only to discover a critter, a deer, has chomped off the buds, ate the leaves. And I think some people are nodding along. That has happened to you. It's the same feeling of finishing a mountain of dishes, draining all the water to discover that just in the next room is a cup or a plate. It's the same feeling as having cleaned up all the toys and crafts, only to hear the sound of something falling in the next room and the sound of what could only be markers rolling underneath the piano. Paul has put time and sweat and preparation into the church in Galatia, writing letters, visiting, prayers. He has poured everything into this ministry to invite them to become aware of God's love through Christ for them, to not only bring them the Easter message of resurrection, but to do so in a faithful way that those in the church are swept up in the power and presence of God. And the text alludes that he had a lot of success. In verse 1, Paul reflects how he had left them, saying, "It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was crucified." Now, none of them were in Jerusalem for that. This happened a lot later. But through worship, through preaching, through sharing their own stories, together they had, in fact, experienced the living God and the power of the Spirit. They had received the Holy Spirit and felt her moving through the community. And with Paul, had had this mystical experience, the overlap of the divine and the earthly, what we call today as the incarnation. God's love and God's will on earth was being channeled through their faithfulness to God as they imagined God's kingdom on earth. Possibilities to be the hands and feet of Christ was before them. And then Paul got word that in the night, while he was away, other missionaries came to the church teaching. And these missionaries emphasized the law and performing the right rituals in order for God to be with them. Specifically, circumcision as the only key to be with God. The church fell apart, having nothing to stand on. Debating doctrine became the task of the church. Who was right? Who was wrong? And it was not about transformation or being a channel or instrument of God's peace and purpose. Instead, it was about jumping through the right hoops. Disappointed and frustrated at the reports, knowing their potential to bear good fruit, Paul lashes out, "You fools, you crazy Galatians, who bewitched you? Who put a spell on you? Having started with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience the Spirit for nothing? If it really was for nothing." We too may go through seasons when we don't believe. And we question if we are experiencing God's presence and power with us. We too know what it's like to feel the closeness of God, but in the next moment feel completely detached and separated. Many of you know that this past January I was able to go to the southern border in Arizona to study the immigration crisis unfolding there. Faith leaders and activists, scholars from all over the country came together in solidarity with the immigrant. I felt inspired and empowered, lifted by that experience with which I believe the Spirit was very much a part of. Having met immigrants, heard their journeys and their hope for a future of safety with their families. However, as the days have gone by, that feeling has not lasted for me. And the impact of that moment and the impact of the Spirit, I have to say, have been forgetting. And maybe you too have been on a mission trip before, or you have had a clear God experience, what we may call a mountaintop experience, where you are absolutely convinced and changed by this goodness of God, however quicker than you would like. You came down that mountain, and that transformed self stayed up there. It was a great moment. But does it continue to live through you? And I've had to wrestle with that. Have I allowed it to live through me, that experience? The time that you were in the hospital and you were moved by a card or a visit by someone you did not expect. The time when you were in need and out of the kindness of someone else's heart came an extravagant gift, an extravagant presence of love and support. The time you gathered with other Christians and those in the community, protesting, rallying for civil rights and for human rights. Each of us have experienced the resurrected Christ. That's why we're here. And so this morning, on the last day of the Easter season, perhaps the alleluias we first sang are beginning to fade. Perhaps as we continue to endure a barrage of news where the sick are sicker, where the vulnerable are made more vulnerable, and the powerful more powerful, we may doubt that resurrection is possible. And perhaps this morning, Paul is asking each of us, urging us, that feel disconnected or a bit lost in the world, to this holy and sacred act of remembering and reflecting those times when we felt the Spirit move in our lives. Luke chapter 22 Then he took the loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same thing with the cup after supper. The act of remembering and reflection is a sacred act, making us one with God and one with Christ. It means we will forget. So give yourself some grace. However, by God's grace, God makes a way for us to stay rooted in the resurrection and the possibilities of new life that we are all praying for these days. Paul reminds us that at all times, we can pause, no matter where we are, reconnect, and experience God's grace. And so I have a challenge for each of you. I invite you to carve out 10 minutes of each day in the coming week. I know that's a lot. You think about when your day gets going. But each day, carve out just 10 minutes. It can be in the morning as you're inspecting your garden, hoping to have good results, or having a cup of coffee. It could be as you're going to work or as you lie in bed. But I invite you to take 10 minutes every day to simply reflect on a moment that you have had in your life, an experience that you can name as the presence and the grace and the love of God made real. Reflect not only what it meant for you, but what did you learn about who God was in that moment? What did you learn about the power of resurrection? What did you learn about the Spirit? And when you have reflected, when you have spent time in remembrance, I invite you to pray these two simple words. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.